Call the meeting order.
With allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Erin Armstrong.
Here.
Kathy Buckley.
Here.
Leonard King.
Here.
Stan Kroski.
Here.
Richard Levine.
Here.
Ed Marin. Carol Wraith.
Here.
Colleen Stone.
Here.
Steve Trembley.
Here.
Charles Simpson.
Okay, resolved that superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the agenda. You have one additional item in front of you. It's a CSE, addition to the CSE report.
Motion.
Second.
Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We have about 5 minutes for public comment. If anybody would like to address the board at this time. Yes?
Hi, Deb Pasno. On behalf of BMA, I wanted to thank Pauline Stone and Mr. Amo for attending our first ever Beekmantown alumni concert. It's sad that more of you couldn't make it because it was truly a wonderful night. The arts were very important in this school once, and because of that, that concert was a huge success. We brought students back from, I think, as far back as 10 years ago, along with students that recently graduated. It was just such a fantastic experience, and it goes very much to show what an impact their high school music instruction had on them. These kids are lifelong musicians because of the training that they received here. And I think that's worth noting. And it's also worth noting that in a recent presentation, it was just given at the college, they were talking about the education program in Finland. It's one of the five highest ranking countries in education. And it was stated that as part of their program, music and the arts are not considered extracurricular, but they're very much mainstreamed into all of their education program because they feel that the students value and learn better in all areas of education when the arts are incorporated. So before we look at making more cuts to our music and arts programs this year, and definitely before we decimate our music program entirely, I think that's something worthy of noting and should be strongly taken into consideration, and we need to be looking at somewhere other than music and art to make any more cuts. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else like to address the board? Okay, presentations.
Liam, would you do the honor of presenting Laura Park's report? If you would, Laura.
I'm going to stand over here, I think, just so I don't have my back.
Yep. Okay, right. Just a few words, Liam. I know you had your speech prepared for this. I can tell by the look in your face.
Well, this is Laura Park's report, and she's been working with us, developing some comprehensive educational plans for our students in grades 3 through 8 with students with disabilities. And I have met most of the board members before, but I work for the Regional Special Education Technical Assistance Support Center. We're put out to service all of the districts in the North Country from the State Ed Department. We're funded through federal flow-through funds to support the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. So just to let you guys know how we're funded and how we come to be. So this year, I'm just giving you some information. The board has the comprehensive ed plans of 3 of your buildings to look at tonight, and we just wanted to give you the information about what's in the plans and what the plan is. And so, because they are so comprehensive, perhaps this would save you a little bit of time. So since about October, your administration, 3 buildings other than the high school, Mr. Amo and Leanne and I have worked to do a pretty detailed analysis of your data, your students with disabilities and how they're performing, primarily in ELA, but we've also looked at math as well. We haven't just looked at the performance reports that come out from state ed entirely in terms of a cohort, but we've also looked right at individual students, as they transferred from grade to grade to really note their progress. And what we found was that we could improve in our areas of writing and on all areas. So if we were able to improve writing, not just in ELA, but we'll improve our results in science and social studies as well. So essentially what these plans involve are that this district is doing something actually incredibly cool. We're looking at
using what you've already started doing in the elementaries, which is the readers and writers workshop. I'm not sure if that methodology is familiar to all of you, but it comes from Columbia University's Teachers College, and it really just helps to augment the instruction that we provide to our students in the areas of reading. But what's really interesting, really great about what they've done is they also have something called a writer's workshop as well. And again, it's another methodology, it's research-based, and what it does is it helps teachers work with students to, again, to improve their results on how they perform on tests. And just to give you an example, a big thing that both the readers and writers workshops do is something called conferencing, but it's not really that. It's sitting with students and working to have them provide you with information. You're asking probing questions, prompting questions to get the information that the Common Core standards are asking. So within these plans and within looking at your data, this is what has been decided to primarily focus on. So I just wanted to share that with you. That's about it. Do you have any questions for me about any of these things? Are there No Child Left Behind cut points?
I have a question. With the cohort that you mentioned, this program is designed more for the general ed or with the star asterisk towards special ed?
Well, that's a great question. And actually, this program is geared towards all students. However, I always say the true test of any curriculum is how well your students with disabilities can function within that. So if a methodology is truly worth it, I think that all students are going to benefit. Right. And one thing when we look at data, and I'll chat about the readers workshop for a quick minute. When we look at data and we see numbers, and to say like a 2 or a 3, what a student is scoring, we want everybody in the 3s because it's the 2s and below that prevent us from meeting the No Child Left Behind thresholds. And if there's anything that's going to take a student who is in that 2 range and they're struggling on questions for like interpretation and things like that on testing, What that conferencing does, that piece of sitting with students and asking them not just yes or no questions about what the characters did or what their plan was, what the plot was, it also asks deeper questions to compare and contrast text, things like that that are the primary skills that students have to demonstrate on the New York State tests. So it's great for everyone. I think with our students with disabilities, another thing that the Reader's Workshop does for us is it allows for us to let students read on what we call the instructional level, if that's the correct term. So to talk with you for a minute about where this kind of makes it challenging to instruct students within other methodologies is that oftentimes your students with disabilities will lag behind. So let's say a student who's in the 5th grade is still reading about on the 3rd grade level. It becomes very difficult within some methodologies to keep instructing that student on the 5th grade level when they're really reading on a 3rd grade level. What we end up with is a lot of skills being missed. So what the Reader's Workshop allows you to do is find books, and actually they use the term the just right reading level. So you can actually instruct kids with real literature but on their level so they can learn the skills that they need to then demonstrate some of the content on the state tests. So that is a good question. It's for everyone.
Right, and a lot of times people don't understand that. It's not designed specifically for special ed.
Not at all. No, this is, and I think what's most exciting is both of your elementary schools have matched their programs. I know that Diane started that, you know, when she was in Cumberland Head, and she and Matt worked on that. So they're working on the same things together. So as we feed kids into our middle school, what is so incredibly exciting to me is that your middle school is actually putting in a methodology into their program that we don't often see. We don't usually see middle schools buy on like that. So as a term I like to use, your feeder, your kids who are coming in, have this, you know, instruction within this methodology, and we're going to continue it, you know, carry the baton. So it's really exciting, actually.
Is there any other funding sources available to the district that you know of to support this?
Yeah, great question, too. One thing that comes along with the process that we've embarked on this year, which was a school quality review first. Scott was part of that. We did parent interviews, teacher interviews, went into lots of classrooms. There's funding for each building from the school quality review at or about the rate of 25 to 27,000, I'd say. So those that source of money will be coming in. And one of the questions on the comprehensive ed plan is, you know, how are you going to use this funding, state funding and federal funding, all to kind of help meet No Child Left Behind thresholds? And so, again, we're easily able to demonstrate the link between the need for the methodologies of the Readers and Writers Workshop based on the data. We're going to be using the money to train teachers. And actually, again, being conservative, we're asking teachers, and they're willing, to come in over the summer and receive this training. So we're not taking teachers out from the classrooms and things like that. So yeah, there'll be the three funding sources, and actually two other school districts are buying in. We're kind of spreading the good word about this stuff, so it'll actually be a little bit cheaper to fund with three districts going in. So, yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Great staff to work with. Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to reports.
A couple of items. I know Charles is not here, but I brought him anyway. I was hoping to get a grander reaction from him, but he's not here. And I didn't tell him I was going to do this. He's not here for other reasons. But recently, Charles was featured in the one of the Denton publications and discussing his role as a student representative on the Board of Education. So if you didn't catch that article in particular, it was a nice article, and he was interviewed, and I thought I'd bring it to the board's attention and try to embarrass the heck out of him. But in absentee of Charles, we know who you are. So there you go. Just a couple of other quick items. I, along with other superintendents in the area, continue to serve on a committee that's been chaired by Dr. John Jablonski, who's of course the president of the community college. We're working with a whole bunch of people on that notion of the STRIVE program I referenced a couple board meetings ago. And the intention is to have the community agencies, our local community agencies, our SUNY system partners, and our CUNY systems partners, our business partners, our community school systems, and a host of other people working together to develop a combined plan to address the notion of cradle to career, the notion of what we do on behalf of families and children of families from the point they actually, from the birth process all the way through going on and moving on to a career. And all of those agencies have a vested interest in us all being successful in that effort. So I point that out to you because from time to time I may be bringing an update to you, to the board, to the audience at large, about the progress being made with the group or any special subcommittees that are being formed. And quite frankly, there may be a time when we bring a representative from John or others from that larger committee that may want a few minutes with the board to tell you where we are with that kind of work. It's an exciting group, a lot of movers and shakers, a lot of great ideas, and Chancellor Zimfer from the SUNY system is basically running point in Albany on this to clear the brush out of the way so we can make good traction. I think I mentioned it before, but our community, Clinton County, is the only rural county school system in the entire United States that's been identified as a project to replicate in places that like Richmond, Virginia, large urban centers. There are many urban centers that have made tremendous progress. We're the first county as a rural county that's been given that same opportunity to launch our efforts. So it's pretty exciting stuff. Another point, our district, along with many other districts, is working on our efforts to get prepared for the APPR, or the Annual Professional Performance Review Requirements from SED. For those who may or may not be aware of it, APPR process is a state requirement in law requiring all school districts to revamp their teacher evaluation instruments and their administrator evaluation instruments. And it was a part of New York State receiving $700 million from the federal government in the notion of race to the top. That's a kind of a buzzword. You've probably been hearing about that. The governor very recently and the Commissioner of Education at the federal level have joined forces in reading the paper, have joined forces in alerting New York and all and a host of other states. The speed in which they're making progress toward that goal is not as fast as the intention. And so there's some warning signs sent out to the state of New York as well as all of its constituent school districts. Hurry up and get going on your model. Show us that it's in place by September of next year. There's some extra funds that might be available to meet that deadline. But there's also the risk of the state losing its portion of that $700 million, or the state losing its portion of $700 million, depending upon the district that's involved. And just as a reference point, our four-year allotment, total allotment to put all of that in place is somewhere in the neighborhood of $106,000. And we're in the start of the beginning of really the third year. So for this next year and one more year, we'll have no more than $106,000. Actually, we're getting into it because we're holding meetings now and training people. But that's a stay tuned, because we don't want to be a district that is at risk of not getting its full share of the APPR, but it does require some negotiations and some language work with our various employee groups, and that's an update just for the board as well as the public to be aware of that. And final, kind of ending on the positive, we normally start with the good news first. Gary was just letting me know that the parent portal, for those who are familiar with it, is now active in our district. A parent portal is a gateway, if you will, from the parents to be able to get access to their students' information online 24/7 as current as it gets inputted. Things like the students' current assignments, their schedules, their grades, if there's been any discipline referrals, that just about anything you'd want to know about where is my son or daughter or grandchild standing at the present moment in the design of being a common educated student, where are they on that path? So the parent portal was made active. It required some fine tuning and some clicking, you know, real careful design, but it's good. It's good. Gary, in one short window of time, literally has already had 24 family activations. So we know, 94 family activations in the first day of going online. We're expecting that number to climb. So pass the good word as parents and grandparents want to get a second opinion of what your children are telling you, where they are and how they're doing. Parent portal is waiting for you to sign on and check yourself. So that's my update. Thank you.
Questions for Superintendent? Mary?
Just an explanation on the agenda. There's a budget transfer request. It's for unemployment insurance benefits. As a school district, we're basically self-insured. So when someone collects unemployment benefits on a quarterly basis, New York State will send us a bill for that, an itemized bill. We review it, verify that the employees did work here for the period of time, and then we reimburse the state for those unemployment benefits. When I did the budget last year, and we indicated that we had some transition and some laid off employees, I put the breakage cost, I left it in with the wages, and now I need to split it out because I need the cost in the unemployment insurance category so that it's properly classified when we pay it. I don't need it right now. We just paid a quarterly bill for December, but anticipating the quarter ended March and the quarter ended June, I need to transfer some money over to that account from the wages account. So it's in the budget. I just need to get it in the proper code. The other item is just an update, a follow-up from last report on the fund balance projection, and I had indicated that so far this year on the revenue status report, we haven't collected anything on the Medicaid billings. We're struggling with a new system, but I'm happy to report the CSE office has updated me on this, and your CSE director and the staff in that office have literally been working night and day and weekends, getting reports submitted, speaking with parents on parent consents, and speaking with all of the related service providers at the various agencies that we work with, including our local CVES, to get all those providers, the occupational therapists, speech therapists, everybody to sign off on all the work that they're doing with all of the children so that we have all the data we need in order to submit that Medicaid billing. It's a more stringent process than what we've had to go through in the past. So it requires considerably more manpower hours, but we're very close to submitting a very big chunk to Medicaid for January 31st that will get us on track for where we were. So I was concerned about the collectability of that, but it looks like we're going to be coming in on target. So that's great news, and thanks to Leanne and her staff for all that hard work. And the other update is
state aid projections came out last week on January 17th on the governor's budget across the state. I think there was approximately just under a 2% increase average statewide on state aid. Foundation aid has been frozen for a number of years. The various other aids predominantly are driven as reimbursement aids. For example, our BOCES aid, we get back based upon what we spend, our transportation, what we spend, excess costs for public and private related services. And overall, our state aid projections from last year to this year have decreased 1.87%. I was optimistically forecasting a 2% increase. That didn't come to fruition. It's approximately $295,000 in lost revenue from last year to this year. Some of that is because of the cost savings measures we've already put in place during last budget season. We tightened up transportation budgets. We eliminated some mileage and diesel costs. We've eliminated some related service costs that we could expand the classrooms here and not have them at BOCES. So some of our BOCES aid has gone down a little bit. So the costs are explainable. We aren't projecting larger budgets than what we're expecting. We're forecasting very close to the belt as to what we expect. So our aid projections are more closely tracking what we're actually experiencing. So I'm fortunate to report that the revenue has gone down $200,000, but it appears to be accurate. So on our $38 million budget, and on our state aid, it's actually 1.8% of our overall state aid. And our Title I and our Title IIA grants are still under review and pending with New York State SED for approval. Last year, we got the approval between Christmas and New Year's. We're lagging behind. SED is backlogged. I put in a few phone calls and a few emails, and they tell me just to keep checking the website for the update on the status. So I log in every couple of days, print it out, it still says under review. Even though the funding year started September 1st, we still don't have formal approval. You know, we have teachers, regular contract wage teachers, the wages start, but we don't pay anything else out of those grants until we have grant approval.
Right.
Stipends, there are extra work that's done by some teachers and grant coordinators where they receive stipends. The stipends historically have not been paid until the grant is approved so that we have the funding source for it, because we don't budget it in the general fund. So we have some teachers who have done work in August, September, October for the stipends that haven't been paid yet. And they're antsy, but we're all antsy. Because for all the teachers that have to provide the services and perform for the students, the year ends when school gets out in June, so it's a much shorter window for them to complete the task and the goals required by the grant when they don't yet have the approval of the grant. Those are the only updates. And also, as Laura had mentioned, that grant, the monies that she's speaking of for that quality improvement is out there under review, and that's a total of $87,000 and some change for the combined three districts. And Jim and Matt, I believe, submitted the application out there for that.
Great. Questions? Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby approve the minutes of the meeting of the Board of Education held on January 10th. Richard. Second by Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby accept the minutes of the committee meeting held on 1-10-12, that be the audit committee.
Motion.
By Leonard.
Second.
By Stan. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CSE recommendation 1-24-12, and that's plus the addition that you have in front of you.
Motion.
By Richard. Second by Carol. Anybody need more time to read the other one that was in front of them? Yep. favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CTSE recommendations dated 1/24/12.
Motion.
Second.
By Kathy. By Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to appoint the following civil service probationary appointment as indicated.
Motion.
By Richard. Second by Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I invited Valerie here this evening. Oh, she was making plans to be present, to be introduced to the board, and I apologize. Okay. She's not here, but I will pass on the good word to her.
Okay. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education the following permanent civil service appointment as indicated.
Motion.
By Richard. Who seconded that? Carol. Second by Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following substitute appointments beginning on the date indicated.
Moved.
By Richard.
Second.
Karen. Second by Karen.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Policies. Resolved the Board of Education does hereby approve the following policies.
Motion.
By Richard. Second by Carol. Any questions in these? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the Board of Education accept the following reports as presented by the Audit Committee.
Motion.
By Richard.
Second.
By Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the Board of Education acknowledge receipt of the warrant report for December 2011.
Motion.
By Leonard.
Second.
Kathy. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the Board of Education acknowledge receipt of the budget transfer report for December 2011 and the due to and due from reports as of December 2011. By Richard.
Second.
By Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following transfers over $5,000.
Motion.
By Leonard.
Second.
By Pauline. Have a roll call, please.
Erin Armstrong.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Dan Karofsky.
Yes.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin. Carol Race.
Yes.
Pauline Stone.
Yes.
Steve Tremblay.
Yes. Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby authorize the following bands for buses at the lowest interest rate possible and on the maturity date indicated. By Richard.
Second.
By Carol. Have a roll call, please.
Karen Armstrong.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Dan Karofsky.
Yes.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin. Carol Race.
Yes.
Pauline Stone.
Yes.
Steve Tremblay.
Yes. Okay, we're going to move on to Charles. Have a report.
Sure. Well, this last week has been extremely stressful for the majority of students, as it was the first year that every class was required to have interim exams. So that was a bit of an experience for everybody involved, because quite a few teachers didn't have really an idea of what they wanted to do with those yet. So some of those were very painful, some of those were pretty easy, but that marked the end of the semester. So everybody breathed a sigh of relief and went on to their quasi-break with the Regents Week this week. So most of the kids didn't even have to come to school today, which I'm sure they're all thankful for. And basically the only other thing I have is that the Harvard team leaves for Boston tomorrow. And so, yeah.
Wish them luck. move on to additional items to discuss. Anybody have any additional items?
Probably good.
I have one operations committee meeting today. We started discussing the West Jay-Z building, and it's our belief it's time to start moving forward with this, and we need to make some decisions as to what we're going to do with this building. There was some discussion. We have to run this by Joe, but we feel that we probably need, we can't just give this away or do anything of the nature until we try to sell it. But it would have to go up for sale for a certain period of time before we could do anything else. So we feel that that's probably our first move. Depending on what the board's decision is with that, we would have to, or we would like to, invite some representatives from the Dodge Library to probably our next board meeting to at least inform them of the direction that the board is going with that building, and then start looking for some ideas as to what we're going to do with it. If we are going to put it up for sale, is that building going to be included? Are we going to try to annex that off from the land and do something with that as far as selling it? Or give me some ideas.
Not to stray from that specifically, but I could use a little board direction on the playground program. I'm still working with the town of Jay-Z.
That's something we've also discussed.
Okay.
What we were told today at the operations committee meeting is that that equipment is in better shape than the Cumberland Head equipment. So the committee's feeling, at least, that that equipment would have to be moved over to Cumberland Head, which probably would make the Cumberland Head equipment available, if that's all legal and that's the way it goes. I guess we have to, that's another Joe question to make sure what we're doing is something that we can.
Okay.
And it may be even more, but that was, Dan inspected it, and I believe that's his opinion too, is it's in much better shape than it. He thinks with some jackhammers, I don't know if people can move it in.
Yeah, it's cemented in.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, when we come to move that, if the equipment at Cumberland Head School is feasible for Jay-Z to want to use,
we would definitely be there. Yeah.
So should I bring forward the fact that we aren't offering the equipment at the West Jay-Z site, but the equipment at the Cumberland Head site?
Well, it's actually a board thing. It's a total board. It isn't just from the operation.
That's what I need before I go forward. I'd like to know what the board decides.
I would think if that's the direction, is if it's legally okay, yeah, we're going to have to keep the best playground equipment for whatever school needs it. The other stuff we should be able to, if that's the board's wishes. I mean, that's the way I would lean personally. Anybody else have an opinion, please?
I'm the same way. Keep. We can't give away better equipment.
Yeah.
You know, if it's going to serve us 8-10 years down the road more, we're going to keep that. But then the other is then surplus, and then that's available.
Okay. Karen, did you have something?
Steve, I would just like for us to take a little bit of time just to be certain that we're headed in the right direction. I don't know if you've heard from our principal, or, you know, I just would want to be certain that is a good game plan before we actually make a decision.
Are you talking about the building or the playground equipment?
Playground equipment.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's something we would definitely do to begin with. So, if it's legal and we've checked with everybody, is that pretty much the opinion of the board? Is that what we could do? Okay.
I think the key word in all that is options. Exploring wherever the options are available to the board, and certainly being mindful of any legal restrictions or opportunities as when the options are developed. And then, of course, with more information, you'll be in a position as a board to say, yep, which of these options do we want to pursue?
Does an insurance company have to assess which one would be safer?
They have.
They have.
The insurance company comes in and does an annual risk assessment district-wide, mm-hmm. and we have on report their assessment of all of the various equipment in all of our district facilities.
Okay, including the Washington, yes.
Okay.
Plus the benefits are, if we did move it, we no longer have to keep up West Jay-Z's playground. And the one at Coleman Head would be a better fit.
Right.
So it would require less maintenance.
Well, we will explore that option then. We'll check with Joe, and we will check with the principals of the building, and see if it meets with their, if they would like to do it.
In the meantime, what would the board like me to?
Well, I think you could probably tell them that that is our plan if...
That's okay to inform them that we may be looking at using that equipment?
I would think so, but that
but
we
may
have
other equipment
that's going to be available. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So is that okay to present it in that form?
I would think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I would think so. Now, to the building. We've discussed this for so long, it's time to start moving forward with something. We've got to do something with this. It's budget time. Now's the time to make the decision, I think, as to what we're... Any opinions on the building itself from anybody?
I mean, from the operations
liability.
Community standpoint, you got liability, you got upkeep. And it's too expensive to keep up the store stuff, and that's basically what we're doing. I mean, we could put a 20x20 building here a lot cheaper than store stuff. So that's what we wanted for. Right. So I mean, the liability for us, it isn't cost effective. We don't really have a lot of options. We got to do something.
Yeah, we got to get out from underneath it.
As long as we bring the Dodge Library people along and let them have it.
Yes, definitely. Is anybody who's not in favor of putting this up for sale at least trying and see what we get out of this? All right, then we will. Karen, do you have any comment on the building itself?
Just one question, Steve. Has there been a value placed on that building?
Yeah, when we did the
100 grand.
The facilities survey, it was 100,000 approximately.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we will put an invitation out to a representative from the Dodge Library for probably the next meeting so that we can tell them of the board's plan to go ahead and do this. We won't do anything officially until we talk to them. Any thoughts on that particular building, or do you guys want to wait till we talk to them and decide what we're going to do, or?
The only thing that I'd like to say is I think we need to keep our options open, because the potential buyer, they might want that building. So, I mean, anything that we do is going to come as a result of talks of whoever's interested in it. Right. If they don't want it, well, then it's not a big problem. We can say, okay, we'll cut it out. But if they do want it, and that hinges, we either get rid of it or we don't because of that. And because even more important than getting money for the building is getting out from under it.
Yes.
And costing us money all the time.
Luke, could I get a clarification? Now, the Dodge Library isn't owned by the school.
That's what Don Strong said.
I didn't think it was.
Dodge Library is not owned by the school. It just has to. It just happens to be tied to the other building through heating and
water.
Such. Water too, I think.
Yes.
So who owns it?
I don't know. I think an abstract review of the deed would determine whether the building is on the district's deed or not.
Yeah, I would have the impression that we own the
Yeah, we do own it.
The Dodge Library, when they met with us, seemed to think it might have been discussionary, and they didn't know if there actually was documentation.
It was brought up at one time that there may not, it may not be the school's property, and if that hasn't been cleared up, we need to.
Oh, definitely, we'll have to clear that.
Okay, that's part.
We did talk about that before because we asked Don Strong before in the meeting, and he said it's ours.
Yeah, we went through a ton of into the vault. printed back as far as we could find any records, and then there's a, but it existed before the last record we could find, so it's hearsay over the years as to who owns, who doesn't own. Both parties, both districts and boards and Dodge Library are uncertain, truly uncertain. So part of the discussion about selling is it ours to sell? That's an important question. And that's all what will be investigated with the
It's not hard if they got a deed show us. They got a deed for it, show us. There's not a deed for that.
It'd have to be searched through the county. What's on file there.
Because
it's not a school building, it's going to be on file with the county.
Correct.
Okay, well, we have some stuff to research then, and we will invite the representatives from the Dodge Library at least. Is there any other additional items to discuss? Anybody has to bring up? Okay, we have a public comment. It's time for public comment. Anybody would like to address the board? Yes?
I'd like to thank you all for scheduling the upcoming public session. It feels good to feel like maybe we're being heard now, and it's a nice way to open the door to the public and make the community feel involved. So thank you. I'm hoping it's well attended. I really am. We're going to push. I'm going to put it out there to everybody I know. I'm hoping you'll have some kind of an ad or something in the paper inviting folks to come. Letting them know.
It'll be placed in the regular, the regular.
We have to.
And also, this doesn't have anything to do with this, but I was called by a parent. They don't want to come forward because they don't want to put their child in jeopardy on their particular sports team. That itself is disturbing to me. But anyway, and they had a question about the football season. And I wish Mr. Cook was here because I would have kind of liked to have addressed this with him. We have a very, I think all the schools do, but we seem to have a very large football program. And their feeling is that they understand that maybe their child isn't the superstar of the football team. Not everybody's a Carter and a Luke. They get that. And we're playing for stats and we're playing to win. They get that. But when we're way up in a game or way down in a game, they just don't get why some of these other players are not getting field time. And their feeling is that if they're going to be running back and forth to school every day, carting their kids to and from practices, and they're running all over Hell's Half Acres like everybody else, you know, to go to Ticonderoga and Moriah and Saranac Lake and everywhere else that everybody else is going, and not have their child see a minute of playing time during a season, they'd rather see cuts. As a parent, when my kid was playing sports, I would have rather had my kid cut from it. I'd rather deal with that hour of disappointment at the tryouts than to deal with it for a whole season long. And I'd be really angry if I was running all over for nothing so that I could look at my kid's back on a bench. I understand where they're coming from, and I just think that I'm wondering why we have to make these teams so large and why we're taking on kids that we never intend to play. So I think that's something worth noting. I think it's something worth discussing with your AD and your coaches and see if that's really the best way to go about this. These kids, this particular child is not going to quit because it's not in their makeup, and I commend them for that. I think the parents might be urging the child to quit and go in a different direction, and the child is saying, you know what, nope, I'm going to stick this out. Somewhere along the way, that kind of dedication has to be rewarded. And if it's not going to be, then cut so that this kid moves, you know, this kid and other kids like them move on and explore other opportunities. You know, try a different sport, do something else. But why are we keeping so many kids? I'm hearing that about our bowling as well, and I don't know anything at all about bowling or how that works. Those are some things that maybe we could be looking at. I don't know how beneficial it is for somebody, for the kid or for the family, to be part of a program that the kid's never going to see time playing.
Does anybody else have any comments for the board? Okay, we do have an executive session. to discuss collective negotiations with Beaton Town Support Staff Supervisors.
Move to the order, Director Finn.
Anita, Clerk Pro Tem first.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Leonard, Dan, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion to go into executive session. Richard?
Second.
And by Stan, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? There will be no action taken after the meeting, or after executive session.